Wow, I don't even have to say please be seated anymore. We've come a long way. A longer way, I know some of the parents actually do discuss religious matters with their children, and I encourage you, you know, to do that throughout the week, much like you discuss their regular school work, their, you know, secular school work and all that kind of stuff. Don't any of the kids who I had for Sunday school, you know, last week take this personally. I did a review. I was substituting for Jerry in a class. And I asked several questions just to kind of find a baseline, you know, of the knowledge where they were at. And just to give you an indication of the kinds of things that we want to, you know, surround our kids with at home. You know, I said, who is the senior bishop of the Orthodox Church? You know, and it starts with a P. And you'd be amazed how many people said Pope Francis. So I just want you to know, I mean, it's obviously the Pope is in the news quite a bit. You know, our patriarch is not in the news as much. The patriarch, one of the five ancient patriarchates, the patriarch of Damascus, of the Antiochian church, was in this country a few months ago. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't a headliner, but he was one of, you know, if the Pope were Orthodox, he would be one of, you know, several. And the first five were Rome, you know, Alexandria, Antioch, Constantinople, and Jerusalem, you know. So anyway, so my encouragement is things that we learn, that you learn in the adult religious education class or through your own reading and study throughout the week, please share that and surround your children, you know, with those things. So let's open the Missal. Try to make sense of this. If you were here, you know, closer to the beginning, you probably noticed some changes in what we were singing. And I will tell you why they were changed. If you look on the third line from the top here, it says grave mode. Okay, that's just telling us the kind of music we're using. Then it says Sunday after the cross, which really means Sunday after the Feast of the Elevation of the Cross, which is on every year, September 14th. But if we wrote that all out, it wouldn't fit, obviously, on the header. So Sunday after the cross means Sunday after the feast. And because the Feast of the Elevation of the Cross is such an important feast, actually, it's one of the 12 great feasts of our church, the Sunday after it does some repeating. We talked about this, about the Sunday after Transfiguration and the Sunday after Dormition. So the Sunday after the Elevation of the Cross, we repeated several hymns from that feast day. Not only that, but if you look at the Bible readings, and if very quickly you want to either open to page 89 or page 151 in your purple liturgy book, you'll see that the title of the epistle reading and the title of the gospel reading probably should say Sunday after the Elevation of the Cross. Can someone confirm that for me very quickly? Is it wrong in the Missal? Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, that was me. So anyway, there is a gospel and epistle reading appropriate for this Sunday because it's the Sunday after the cross. And then, and we've spoken about movable cycles and things like that, starting next Sunday, the readings will be from the Gospel according to Luke. And every year, when do we start reading the Gospels according to Luke? It is on the Sunday after the Sunday after the Elevation of the Cross. So this marks, you know, kind of a pivot. All the Gospel readings from the 14th till like tomorrow are actually selected to have something to do with the cross, just because we're in that period. After tomorrow, and when we're end with the week of celebrating the Elevation of the Cross, then starting on Sunday, then we open the book of Luke, so to speak, in the church, and we'll read through Luke until we get to, you know, close to Lent. Okay? Now, I may have 1 minute left. So check at the bottom of the first column or the first hymn where it says Apolitikion of the Feast of the Cross. And save, O Lord, your people and bless your inheritance. This is almost, in Greek especially, it's almost like a national anthem. You know, a national anthem of the Roman Empire when it was Christian, you know, because I mean the cross was huge. Now the words were changed here. This will be an example of adapting a hymn to, you know, modern times. The Greek hymn says, you know, granting victory to the kings or to the emperors. Okay? And that used to be sung like that, Tis Vasilevsi, in Greece, while Greece, modern Greece, that is, had a king. After the referendum, and there was no longer, you know, the kingdom of Greece, but the modern state of Greece, then Greece, they changed it to Tis Efsevesi, instead of Tis Vasilevsi, which meant grant to the faithful, to the pious Orthodox Christians, victory. And then people would either sing kings or pious, depending on their political, you know, leanings. But here in this country, it was changed by the archdiocese to the faithful. All right? But if you look at the Kondakion, which is the last hymn on that page, Kondakion of the feast, and we said that this hymn usually represents what festal period we're in. So this is particular to the cross. In this case, the translator decided not to update it, but left it as for historical purposes, and it says, you know, cause our faithful emperors to be glad in your power. It's not a political statement. We're not saying that the church or anyone in particular wants to reinstate, you know, the Byzantine Empire or anything like that. It's simply part of our collective history, and so we want to be smart, and when we read that, we won't be offended, we won't be scandalized, we won't be misled. We'll say, we're part of a huge history of a church. And, you know, that hymn was written back then, but I can make it mean what I want to, you know, for today. That having been said, why don't we stand and pray now?